Welcome back to the Aware Show. This is Lisa Garr. So here we are at the beginning of the year and really looking at what is going on with your health, with your finances. And this is an opportunity to take a look and see what things you can do differently to create a different result, because we know that that's how you create different results. So my guest today has a really good plan. It's a 28-day prosperity plan that offers very simple and effective daily practices that you can use to dramatically improve your life on every level. And I love plans. I love the idea of action and doing something that's a concrete step-by-step process, because it gives me a routine to fit into, and the little habits and pattern and mind chatter gets put off because it has to stick to the plan. So Emmanuel Dagger is my guest. He is an amazing transformation specialist. Welcome. So it's so great to have you on my radio show. Hi, Emmanuel.
Hey, it's so good to connect with you.
Yes, absolutely. And I so love your everything, the plan, the idea that you, well, first of all, let's just talk about money in general. What is it to you? What is money?
You know, that's a really good question. And, you know, I was listening to Linda's interview earlier, and, you know, it's very interesting because I was on the other side of what she was doing. So she was actually going into countries and helping these very almost like below poverty level people. And I was one of those people. I grew up in Lebanon during the civil war of the 80s and 90s. And so I had this idea that, you know, what is money? I don't even know what it is, because I didn't have it in my life. My parents didn't have it. We lived in a convent, and so there was a lot of struggle there. So as I grew and was able to have had the opportunity to be removed from that environment, I really had some time and space to contemplate that question. And for me, you know, money is so much more than just paper or coins or cash or credit or whatever. It is a living, breathing energy. And I know sometimes that may sound a little bit out there, but if everything is energy, life, all of it, you know, the trees, rocks, everything is energy, why not look at money in that way as well? Why not have and give it that respect that it deserves? Because when we honor it, it's going to honor us back. And that's sort of the big epiphany that I had around money that has changed my life.
Did you have that concept when you were moving from that area in Lebanon, when you were moving from that area of survival in your life to to a new life? Did you have that concept of money? Did you that come at you afterwards?
Yeah, no. I actually didn't want anything to do with it. You know, all I wanted to really do was be of service. And for me, I think the experiences from childhood, having seen things that really no one should see, and having had no food for days, and no running water, no heat. And I know you're half Lebanese, so you can probably understand a lot of what that was like. So having gone through that, you know, I remember being 3 years old and making a promise to God, universe, whatever you want to call it, and asking, or basically saying, that if my mom, because it was just her and I at the time, if she and I were able to escape and have a better life, I would spend the rest of my life giving back and being of service and doing some kind of work in the world that's going to help people. And so I had no idea that, you know, I could do that and be prosperous and have a great sort of lifestyle where I'm giving back and prospering. So I did not have the awareness then, but I think because of those experiences, it really had me searching for a deeper understanding of what prosperity really is.
So it sounds like you knew what you didn't want, but did you know what you wanted? Did you have, and you mentioned in your book about cultivating the clarity that's needed to attract more abundance. I heard an interesting state. I was listening to a recording by, it was Joe Dispenza the other day. And he said, people want money to do what they want to do with who they want to do it with and when they want to do it. I thought that was interesting. That was his definition of money.
Right. But what is the core of that? if you think about the root of that, that's freedom, right? So what
yes.
I'm hearing is that you are free to just be and just allow uh-huh. yourself to experience those types of things that you would like to create more of. And if money can support that, why not?
Right, right. So, but is that clarity, though?
So I do think that the feedback is yes. So if you had struggle and you're over it, that's feedback telling you, hey, this is not for me. But if you're experiencing things that are very fun and enjoyable and expansive and you're really feeling fulfilled, that's feedback too, telling you that is for you. So yes, everything, all of life is simply feedback as to what is in alignment for us and what's not.
I'm taking all this into account here because we're going somewhere with this, but there's the idea of wanting to do fun things and feeling deserving to do fun things, and there's this whole idea of debt, of credit card debt, where you can do the fun things and you can pay for it on the credit card, but then the more debt you accumulate, the more you're spending on, you know, funding these things. And I had heard a report on the radio saying that, quote, millennials are getting into massive financial trouble by getting these loans from these 1-800 call me now for cash types of places,
mm-hmm.
and getting into, you know, not understanding the concept of what it really means to, you know, to pay for things now in full as opposed to creating and accumulating debt in the name of doing fun things.
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel about that?
Well, that is such an eye-opening sort of feedback, and I think it's also not just should be placed on the millennial's shoulders, but
right.
also sort of the behavior of, you know, the generations that preceded them. And one thing, you know, working with so many different clients and mm-hmm. sort of seeing what's the theme that comes up, especially around debt. So many, many years ago, there was a lot of ideas of, you know, you can't have that. You know, a lot of us had parents who grew up in the Great Depression. So
mm-hmm.
they had this idea that there was not enough, so you need to save and you have to kind of hoard things. So that one extreme led to having these children who were very much told that they couldn't have what they wanted. So we can call them baby boomers, whatnot. And these parents or these adults now decided, well, I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to give everything to my child, and it's going to be very hard for me to say no because I want to give them everything that I didn't have. So then it goes to the other extreme.
Yeah.
And then so now what's happening is that manifestation, and these kids are now very entitled, and they're not all of them, but a lot of them are entitled and sort of thinking that they're doing something right by taking these student loans and taking these loans for other things, for cars, and not really understanding the value of the balance of the circulation, that just as you receive, you have to give. So I think now, hopefully, we will come to a place of balance again.
That is such a great definition. That's a terrific definition, yes, where the parents came from nothing. They had children who wanted to give them, and they wanted to give them everything so they didn't have to suffer and the way that they did. And then there was a sense, yeah, of an entitlement and lack of responsibility because it wasn't taught mm-hmm. around finances. So now we get to redefine what prosperity really is and enter in the technology age. The player, where it's like a stage. Enter in Mr. Technology, where it does make it easier to make money and spend money
mm-hmm.
on technology, in, you know, yeah. using technology. So, gosh, this is why it's such a juicy conversation of what does this mean to, what does money really mean? Is it a means to an end? Is it energy? Is it something that we need to be accountable for? Is it something we need yeah. to set a goal on? Or is it all
Absolutely.
Of that?
Absolutely. And I think all of the above. And really, I think the mm-hmm. more simple, the better. So when we simplify, because sometimes, you know, when we start putting so many different layers, it really complicates it. It feels very mental, and we kind of move away from the truth of what it is, which money is simply the exchange of energy. It's the embodiment of giving and receiving energy. And so it has evolved. Just like we've evolved, money, the way that we experience it, has evolved. So it started out, I'm going to give you my cabbage for your corn. And then it evolved to coins. And then it evolved to paper, which is now almost becoming obsolete. And now it's phone to phone. You know, so literally it's dissolving in certain ways and magnifying and opening up in new ways. And when we start realizing that it's not about the object itself, but rather what it represents, which is the exchange of energy, giving and receiving acknowledgement, love, gratitude, then we can start to align with it, because we're not chasing the paper. We're actually allowing that awareness of what it truly is, that it's just energy, to fully enter our space, and then we can sort of be open to it.
Aha. So, I mean, that, again, another great example. Now, you have, your book is Easy Breezy Prosperity.
Yes, easy.
Easy. So this is something you need to overthink. But you also have tools in place here of, mantras and things that you can experience and so forth. Can you tell us a little bit about how you've used these to reframe your relationship with money?
So thank you for that question. And I really feel it's important to have a very holistic view. And so really combining Western ideas with Eastern, because really Eastern is very ancient and it goes back many, many thousands of years. And there's a lot of things like nutrition and herbs and
right.
things like that that are still used, and they're very, very healing. So they're just very affordable and cheap. So sometimes, you know, we kind of omit that because we think, oh, that's too silly, it's too easy. But really, nothing is too easy. It can be that easy in a way that's very impactful and makes a difference. So going back to mantras, you know, the thing that I studied with mantras is, you know, I do a lot of energy work and understanding that whole dialogue of energy, but I also really value the analytical sort of organized part of society. And I realized that, you know, the repetition is sort of the, you know, of these mantras and the sort of dedication to sticking with them and kind of chanting them, saying them in a very organized way is very powerful. And then what happens is, because these mantras have been used for thousands of years, there's millions of people who have used them before you, and now you're not just stepping into this no energy, you're actually stepping into this huge vortex that has preceded you, that's going to support you with creating these mantras. And the reason why I'm so passionate about my mantras is because I've worked with them for so many years, and they've changed my life, and I've given them to many of my clients. And, you know, a mantra is not to be mistaken with an affirmation. So affirmations are amazing. They're very powerful. But a lot of times affirmations are self-created, and so we start deciding, okay, I am strong, I am powerful, I am beautiful, or whatever you feel like you want to empower yourself with. And sometimes it just doesn't feel true. But mantras are specific sounds and frequencies and vibrations that have been used by so many people, and then you're going to add have that energy added immediately, so you're going to start seeing results much more quickly. And I've put some around prosperity, around health, around healing, clearing some karma stuff. So really, really powerful mantras in this book.
Okay, so can we talk about one of them that has to do with prosperity, the
yes.
I am prosperous?
Yes, so that one is one of my favorites, and actually it's a twofold. So we have the divine Shreem, so the Lakshmi, and she is the divine energy that represents beauty, love, compassion, and prosperity. So we're not doing it from a place of ego or greed. We're doing it from a place of honor. So when I invite anyone who's interested in mantras, when I invite you to contemplate it, just think about what that energy is. So, you know, whether it's in the book, my book, where it sort of defines what it is, or if you are just listening to it on YouTube or whatnot, really understand and connect with the energy of what that is, and then begin to honor it and chant from a place of honor. So the shreem is Om Shreem Mahalakshmiye Swaha or Namaha, whichever one you want. So Om Shreem Mahalakshmiye Swaha, and you just say it over and over again for a few minutes and just feel into the vibration. You can do it while you're driving, while you're showering. And the key is to do these mantras for at least 28 days. It takes 21 days to break a cycle and 28 days to begin a new one. Try it for 28 days, and I promise you, just pay attention. Notice what comes, and the prosperity may come through different ways. It could come through a new idea that's going to help you become very, very successful financially. It could come through healthier relationships. It could come through better health. Just notice and watch how that starts showing up for you.
How long do you do the mantra?
You know, they say I've learned that you have to do them 108 times, but I just don't think that that's the case. You can do them sort of maybe 1 minute to 5 minutes. You want to do it longer, that's great. But I think as long as you're consistent and you set that intention in that way, that this is sort of what you are focusing on in that moment of these mantras, then I think it's more than fine. So at least a minute or longer, that should be more than enough.
Is Lakshmi the goddess with the rice?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. I have her on my desk.
Yes, me too.
and she, the symbol of the rice is abundance, is yes. We have more than enough and be able to create health and wellness for people as well as abundance. So Om Shreem Mahalakshmi?
Mahalakshmi Ye Namaha or Swaha. Either one will work.
And what does Namaha mean?
Gratitude.
That's wonderful.
Because you're expressing gratitude. You know, when you close with that, it's just acknowledgement. You know, by the way, I talk about gratitude in the book, and we've heard about that often, and I actually heard Linda talking about that, and it was so exciting to hear her, how excited she was with the energy of gratitude. And one thing with gratitude, you know, for many of us, we hear, okay, just be grateful, you know, express appreciation. But what gratitude really is doing is it's honoring that which you are receiving from. So if it's from the universe, God, the person, yourself, expressing gratitude is acknowledging. You know, one of the greatest gifts we can receive really is feeling acknowledged and being seen and heard. So when we express gratitude, we're doing that for that which we are receiving from.
So if you're in a position where you're finances or there's things due or there's debtors calling and so forth, can you just be gracious or be in a space of gratitude for what you are or who or that present moment, and will that help shift that energy truly?
Yeah, so in that moment, yes, but there's a catch. The catch is that when you can fully be grateful for the fact that you're struggling, and I know it sounds really, really crazy sometimes, but when you can truly be grateful for the fact that you're in the struggle, because the struggle, as we go back to the beginning of our interview, is just feedback.
Right.
So thank you, universe, for this struggle, for letting me know this is not what I want. So what can I do to start getting things into place so that I can shift this experience? When you can truly be grateful in that way, you're accepting it. Through the divine acceptance, you open yourself up to healing it and alchemizing it and creating a much more aligned reality for yourself.
Yes, and that does, sometimes that can be a difficult challenge where you're looking at things that do need shifting that you maybe have ignored or chosen to not see. And that's what growth is.
Yes. And the challenge, you know, to me is actually, you know, I learned to look at challenges as something that I want to step into rather than hide from. So when you have a struggle, when you have a challenge, that means something is moving. Energy is moving. It's pushing you out of your comfort zone, and the mind is sort of like freaking out, oh, my goodness, you know, what am I going to do? Who am I without this? So I invite you to use the challenge and the struggle as feedback that there's energy, there's like an electricity being built, and if you just step into it, Just step into it. You don't have to even do anything. Just step into it and be in it. Then you're going to start allowing yourself to open up to higher ideas, insights. You're not going to push it away. You're actually going to accept it, love it, embrace it out of your reality.
And also from that place, come up with the energy that you need, maybe the inertia that you need to do something about it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I've been in both of those places where the situation seems so daunting you want to go back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Or you need to just pick up the phone, make things happen, get, you know, change this, do that. You really need to move forward like a roller coaster.
Yes. And you know what? Honor yourself as well. Like if you feel like you need to put the sheets over your head and go to sleep for a little while, that's okay too, because that's not going to last very long if you give yourself permission to be in it. The reason why a lot of people have trouble with that and it lasts longer than they really want it to is because they're hard on themselves. They beat themselves up, and they're really sort of resisting allowing themselves to feel it. So, you know, when you're feeling that way, when you're feeling lack, worry, limitation, hesitation, all those things, those are just the mind's way of trying to keep itself safe. That's it. It's just the mind trying to protect you. So instead of being upset with yourself for feeling those things, just be grateful. Thank you, universe. Thank you, mind, for trying to protect me. Now I'm going to let myself feel into whatever needs to be felt so that when, you know, you get to that moment where you're over it, then you can get up and do those things that you need to do to shift it.
Well, that's true. That is very, very true. That's a great way of saying it. So Emmanuel's book called Easy Breezy Prosperity includes the 28-day prosperity plan. And each day is outlined in the book of what to do and what to say that day and as far as I can tell, it's got a really clear way of just kind of taking you through it.
Mm-hmm. Easy breezy for me. You know, I'm not someone who does very well with overwhelm and complicated things. And I very much respect and honor those who can, but it's never really worked for me. So I wanted to make a very easy 28-day, step-by-step, foolproof type of plan that, my clients, I've been using it with them. I've been my own guinea pig over many years. And it's not something, if you're listening and you're like, oh, not another plan, I want you to also give yourself permission to use this book in a way where you just open it up. And that day, whatever you are meant to receive, that you receive it. And so if you're not someone who's ready for an actual month of step-by-step, although, it will be very, very beneficial for you and help you and support you and create wonderful shifts, if you are someone who wants to start a little slower, just open it up, middle to the end of the book, open it up and see what that process is for you that day or some of the processes, and just try it and see how you feel and sort of keep track. There's a little journal that you can write in and sort of share your thoughts, your miracles, your blessings of the day.
That's really cool, is that the journaling process is wonderful. It's just like having a coach or somebody showing you things that you might not be able to see on your own. By just being in the inquiry and asking the right questions, you know, one day you look at fear, one day you look at joy, one day you look at, your business. I mean, you really do dive into these different things that you can help people see that sometimes we can't see on our own. How much clutter has to do with finances and social networking and how to build your business that way. I mean, there's you are, of course, a social media personality at this point and has done amazing work with bringing your business to technology and making it work. So you're definitely a pioneer in that field and someone to be listened to when it comes to prosperity and online businesses and what that really means.
And I want to say, to me, I never even saw it as separate than me. I never saw business and my personal life separate. You know, we've always heard, oh, it's not personal, it's just business. And to me, I usually notice that there's probably something that not very nice that happened before that. what I think of as business is an extension of who we are. If we're showing up, being authentic, being real, and being professional, then we are just, it's an extension of us. And so with social media, everything that I share, you know, it's part of my spiritual practice. It's just as much for me as it is for those that I'm wanting to inspire and share with. So I invite you, if you've seen social media as a chore, just think about it. It doesn't have to be a chore. Who are you, and how can you share more of you with the world? And when you can look at it from that space, then you can be of service, and it really makes a big difference.
Great way of saying it. Great way of saying it. That's a good way of embracing social media. Well,
right?
Yeah, very much so. Well, thank you so much, Emmanuel. It's always such a pleasure to speak with you. You have such a gentle soul, and it makes it easy to understand what you're saying and to actually take it on. So I like the title, Easy, in there.
Thank you so much, and I'm so grateful for this time with you. And, you know, the listeners can check it out anywhere books are sold.
Easy Breezy Prosperity. Thank you so much. Emmanuel Dagger is my guest, and thank you. We'll talk to you very soon, okay? All right, and until next time, I invite you all to stay aware.